Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 43rd episode of Edu All-Stars. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd.
And my name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler. And today we want to welcome to the podcast and thank everyone for the great response we've had so far. And for those of you who left reviews on iTunes, just make sure you tweet as you watch the show using the hashtag EduAllStars. You can catch all the previous episodes that we've done on eduallstars.com/podcast, or you can also find those on iTunes.
If you've been listening recently, you've seen our last couple episodes have been sponsored by TechSmith, and we are excited that our next four episodes are going to be sponsored by GoNoodle. Here at Edu All-Stars, we are all for using technology and fun to help our students be the best in the classroom, and GoNoodle Brain Breaks are designed to help kids get their wiggles out, refocus the classroom, and simulate learning in 5 minutes or less. I use GoNoodle in my class all the time, and the kids love it. It's free. It's super easy to use. It has things like running, dancing, stretching, deep breathing. If you go to our website, eduallstars.com, we have a sign-up link where you can sign up for a GoNoodle account today, and we would just want to thank GoNoodle for supporting Edu All-Stars by supporting this episode. This week's episode, we are excited to welcome Deanna Jump. She has been teaching for 17 years and is one of the top-selling teachers on Teachers Pay Teachers. She now travels around the country sharing her creative ideas with other educators. So thanks, Deanna, for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we also want to say, just so I don't forget, because Chris forgot to say why I wasn't here last time because I was celebrating my anniversary with my wife, and then we want to say that Keegan is not going to be with us this episode. He is feeling a little under the weather, so we hope to have him back on our next episode. But Deanna, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in education.
Well, like you said, I've been teaching for 17 years. In kindergarten and first grade are the grades that I've taught. And I love it. I have a master's degree in curriculum instruction and an ed specialist degree in early literacy and reading. So definitely education is my passion, both as a student and as a teacher.
Have you always wanted to be a teacher? Like, did you go to, you went to college for that and everything, and you didn't do anything prior to that?
No. Are you asking that because I look old and you're
No, not at all.
Burn!
I did start teaching a little bit later in life. I had babies and stayed home for a little while first, so that might be why you're thinking that. But ever since I was a little girl, I've known I wanted to be a teacher. In fact, I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me, and I used to beat her up and make her play, be my student and let me be the teacher. So I've always known. There's never been anything else I've ever wanted to do. So.
Yeah, when we were talking prior to the show, you mentioned your daughter's getting married, and I'm like, how can you possibly have a daughter that's getting married? You don't look a day over 32. So.
Oh, you're the best. I'm a grandma.
Seven grandma? That's incredible. That's incredible. Anyway, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
So what's your favorite part about working with the younger age children? You were in the kindergarten classroom last, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So. My favorite part about working with kindergarten especially is they come to you and they can barely write their name, they don't know their letters and sounds, and they leave you reading and writing. So it's just amazing the growth that you can see. Same with first grade. They come to you with, you know, basic skills, and then they leave, and you just see so much growth in those grades. So I just love that grade level.
So you're known far and wide for your ideas and the products that you have on Teachers Pay Teachers. Can you tell us a little bit about what Teachers Pay Teachers is and how you started on there?
Sure. Teachers Pay Teachers is an online marketplace where anyone is welcome. Anyone who creates their own resources to use in the classroom is welcome to go and sign up for an account and start sharing their materials with other teachers all over the world. I have teachers in Spain who use my stuff, Canada, Africa. You know, the beauty of the internet sales is they can reach far and wide. So I got started on Teachers Pay Teachers because I've always shared all of the resources that I've created with my teammates. So we were in a planning session. It was on a Tuesday. I'll never forget it. And I was sharing all my materials with my friends, and one of my friends just looked at me and said, "Your stuff is so good. Why don't you have it on Teachers Pay Teachers?" And I had never even heard of Teachers Pay Teachers, so she sent me the link, and a few weeks later I signed up, and here we are.
Yeah. That's, so how long were you on Teachers Pay Teachers before you realized that, hey, I actually am really good at this, people really like my stuff, and I really have a shot at you know, making some money doing this?
It was a while. My first year, I only made about $300. And in fact, I remember telling my husband, you know, I just don't know if this is worth all of the work and the hours that I'm putting into it. So I really almost did not even sign up and renew my membership. I was pretty much just going to let it be that. And, you know, he said, you've made $300 and you've only spent $65 to do that. So even if you don't do any other work, it, you know, maybe your stuff will continue to sell. So you need to just go ahead and pay the, you know, the renewal fee. And, you know, if you make stuff for your class, put it up there. So I'm so thankful I listened to him.
Yeah,
I sure would have missed out on a lot.
I'm also a Teachers Pay Teachers seller, and I'm pretty new to the game, about 6 months in. But what I've also noticed is that right up front, I mean, I was working a lot. We're talking a lot to put up some really good quality products, and you know that money was there, but it certainly wasn't, you know, worth all the amount of hours I was putting in.
Right.
But as the time goes by, the trend line starts going up and up and up, and really that passive income starts coming in from stuff, from the work you put in, you know, early on. So hang on, and just, you know, if you're something you're interested in, definitely know that, you know, there's good things to come in the end. So
right, where else can you create? You know, like, I create some materials with my friend Dee Dee Will. She and I created some math units and writing units together. And the writing units we created over a year and a half together. A year and a half ago we started those. And they are still, like, one of my number one sellers. So it's like, you know, where else can you create something? You know, and a year and a half later you're still making, you know, income off of that. So where else can you create something, put it online, and it start selling immediately where you're not having to, you know, wait months or whatever for it to be published and get out into the public. So, you know, there are a lot of great pros to being on Teachers Pay Teachers. So.
Now, I was reading your blog, Deanna, and one of the things that really hit me about your bio page was the story you talk about how some of the money that you've earned from Teachers Pay Teachers has allowed you to help your family, like your brother, JR. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Oh, gosh, if I can get through that without crying.
We've never had a crier, so you're going
okay.
To be the first.
Okay, my husband says I'm not a pretty crier, so I'm going to try to keep it in. My brother, JR, is just the sweetest person ever. I was 12 when he was born, so I'm pretty much like his second mama. And when he was 13, he was injured in an accident, and that accident left him, first of all, they did not think he was going to make it. In fact, I was living in Indiana at the time, and they called and said that I needed to get there right away because they were going to be pulling the plug as soon as I got there because there was no brain activity, and the doctors, you know, they had decided to pull the plug. So whenever I got there and I started talking to him and letting him know that it was okay, you know, that I loved him and it was okay to go, he started tearing. He had tears start running down his face. And then when I walked across the room, he started tracking me with his eyes. So we could tell, you know, okay, there's something here. He's still there. Mm-hmm. So we decided not to pull the plug and to give him a, you know, a little more time. And so now he's doing great. He is a quadriplegic. He's nonverbal, so he can't speak to us, but he can communicate. He's very cognitive. He's aware of, he laughs when it's appropriate. He cries when it's appropriate. He can flip us off. It takes him a while. He has to work really hard at that, but he will do that sometimes if he's really frustrated with my mother, who takes care of him. But after his accident, he had a little van that was given to them that he could get around in. But then, you know, it stopped working. So we didn't have the money to purchase him a van. There was nobody that could do that. So for many, many years, he was pretty much stuck at home. Unless he had a doctor's appointment, then an ambulance would come and get him. So he would be really excited when he had a doctor's appointment because he was going to get out into the world. So I knew, even though I was struggling and could barely pay some of my bills, I knew that when that first big check came in, I mean, there was no question. My husband and I talked about it, we prayed about it, and we just knew there was no question that that is what we needed to do. Because whenever I had that first big check, I can remember standing in the kitchen just jumping up and down. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this. we can't get used to this. We can't get used to this. This is a fluke. And we truly did think it was a fluke. And I think even Paul, the owner of TBT, I think he thought it was a fluke too, but the founder. So we decided, you know, this money, it may not ever happen again. So this is just what we felt that we needed to do. So it's totally changed his life, and I'm so thankful that I was able to do that for him. So thank you. You know, anybody that's watching who's bought anything from me, thank you, because you helped make that possible.
I'm sure that I know that reading the forums on Teachers Pay Teachers, you know, once you become a member, you have access to the forums, and, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of people look up to Deanna Jump as someone that they inspire to be like, and whatever. Do you have any, like, if someone, maybe someone at your school say, hey, I wanted to get started at Teachers Pay Teachers, what do you tell them to get started? You know, how do you get going on it?
Well, I tell them, you know, the first place to start is, don't just start creating stuff just for the sake of creating stuff, you know, thinking you're just going to make all this money, because it may not happen. Create things that you need in your classroom, because if your students need them, other teacher students are going to need them as well. So start that. Just, you know, remain true to yourself and create things that you're going to use in your classroom that are in the, you know, the style of your teaching, and, you know, just make sure it's top-notch before you put it on there. Really take the time to make sure before you put it up there, you know, that it's top-notch.
Yeah, I think, yeah, you bring up a good point, because there is some not top-notch stuff on there, but that's not the stuff that's selling. I mean, if you spend the time, you put the time in to make really high-quality things, I think that your fans or customers or whatever will support that and continue buying more stuff from you.
Right. I also think that the key, too, is in maintaining yourselves, and this is what I'm in the process of trying to go back and do. You have to constantly go, you know, once a product's out there, you're not finished with it. Because, like, things that I made 3 years ago need to go back. I need to go back and redo those, update them, you know, change out the clip art. And so that's what I'm in the process of doing now. I'm trying to go back slowly and redo all of that old stuff. You've got to make sure that you just continue to not just create new stuff, but go back and redo your older stuff as well, and update it and keep it current.
Now, if I was a teacher who had never been on Teachers Pay Teachers, how would you describe the kind of things that I would find there? And do you have a particular niche that you focus on?
Do I have a particular niche? I used to. When I first started, I pretty much focused on emergent readers, little readers for the kid. Then from there, I went to creating integrated units, which is kind of still my specialty, where I create units that can be used to teach literacy, math, and science all integrated, so that when you're teaching a lesson, you're teaching for multiple standards at once. That, and then, like I said, with Dee Dee Wills, we've done some writer's workshop units and some math workshop units that are great. But there's a wide variety on Teachers Pay Teachers. If it's something you need for your classroom, it's on there. There are so many sellers on there now that I don't think there's anything you can't find on there.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like if I'm struggling for something, it's probably there. And if it's not, you better believe I'm going to create it and put it on
there. Right.
So one of the things I'm curious if you've heard some of the same things that I have. You know, I mentioned that I'm a seller on there as well, and like on some of my blog posts, I'm a blogger at madsciencelessons.com, and I've got a Facebook page and all that. And every once in a while, I'll get a teacher out there that'll say, you know, that teachers really should be sharing everything, and that making any money from your own lesson plans really isn't in the spirit of collaboration. And I just wondered if you kind of had any thoughts about that.
Oh, yes, I do. I do. First of all, most of us do share freely, because most of us do have Facebook pages or blogs where we can share, you know, ideas and activities, and then you can go and make them yourself, or you can go and buy what we're sharing. You know, that's up to you. But I think most of the people who say that everything should be free, those are the teachers who, they come home from work, and I don't, you know, I don't want to be rude or ugly, but they come home from work and they plop down in front of the TV, or they're spending time playing with their kids or whatever. You know, a lot of times I was chained to my computer. Yes, it was a choice, but it was my second job. I, you know, spend 40 hours a week sometimes working on my units on the computer. So would they go and tutor somebody, or, you know, for hours and hours and expect to not get paid for it? Would they go and work at the mall as a part-time job and expect not to get paid for it? No. It's a job. It really is. You know, yes, I want to share my materials, but you have to charge for your time. And then you know, use your blog. We put freebies up on our blog. You know, there are some freebies on Teachers Pay Teachers and on our Facebook pages. So we all share. I think, you know, all of us share. It's just we can't share everything. Otherwise, there would be no one making this high-quality stuff because it is a lot of work. It takes a lot more work to create something that you can post and publish versus just what I would need for my classroom.
I think you bring up a super good point. Like, before I even put anything up on Teachers Pay Teachers, I would have never just taken stuff off my drive from school and just put it directly on Teachers Pay Teachers. I mean, there was a lot of work that went into making it nice, making sure everything was spell checked and edited and looked, you know, formatted correctly and everything. And it's really, I think, raised my game in the classroom and raised the quality of the curriculum that I'm giving my own students. And I look at it also as I not only get to teach my students, but now I get to teach potentially like hundreds of other classes with stuff that I know for a fact works in my classes that may not be working in these other classes that helps out that way. And so for that, I feel like my time is valuable. And some of this stuff is, you know, we're talking $3, $5, $7, $10 on some of this stuff compared to like a mainstream vendor that may be charging hundreds, if not thousands of dollars for some of their curriculum. And so I don't know. I have no qualms about it at all, making money from that. But I just was curious if you kind of experienced those same things. So.
Yeah, I think we all, you know, anybody who sells their educational materials and is a teacher, because there's something about, it's almost like some people think that teachers, we're supposed to take a vow of poverty or something, you know?
Right.
If I were just a regular, you know, just an author who created teacher resources and sold them, no one would think a thing about it. But because I'm a teacher doing it, it's kind of like, oh, no, that's bad. So.
Yeah, great point.
Now, we talked a little bit earlier about how you've stepped out of the classroom this year, and now you're traveling quite a bit and speaking and presenting. What topics do you present at conferences, and are you one of those that's always been comfortable presenting in front of crowds of adults?
No. In fact, my college class, we all have to take public speaking, and that was terrible. I would just not be able to sleep the night before. I was so nervous, but there's something about this. I think it's because I'm up there and I'm just sharing. It just, teaching comes natural to me, so just talking about what I'm doing in the classroom and helping them with best practices, you know, that doesn't bother me at all. So, I'm going around. I mainly present for a company called SDE, which is Staff Development for Educators. And then, you know, other school districts, they contact me as well personally, and I'll do it for them as well. But mostly I'm doing it for SDE, and I just travel around talking about integrated curriculum, language arts and math instruction. Common Core is a big thing. I know in Texas, you know, y'all don't do the Common Core, but Common Core, so just a wide variety of things that deal with teaching kindergarten and first grade students.
And they have a big, their conference in Vegas this summer, correct?
Yes.
Are you presenting at that, I'm presuming?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
That's a fun one.
Cool. And I'm actually coming out there for the Teachers Pay Teachers conference that Friday, so hopefully we'll get to meet in person. So.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I can't wait. I'm so excited to meet it. This will be my third year doing Vegas, the I Teach K conference in Vegas. So that's always a lot of fun. But now TPT backing up to that just makes it even more fun. So yeah, I'm excited.
I just heard about the I Teach K thing because my friend Aaron Klein is going to that and presenting there this year. And I was like, God, I want to go. That sounds like a fun conference. Even though I don't teach kindergartners, I'd love to see all those teachers in one spot and hear what they're doing. And
well, you should go.
Yeah, hey, you're the principal now, man. You can do what you want, right?
Yeah, they let principals go free with a certain number of teacher registrants. So just round up all your teacher friends.
There you go.
You know, find five teachers and say they're going and say you're their principal. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So, Deanna, I read somewhere that you were possibly considering going back into the classroom. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, there's never been any doubt that I wouldn't go back into the classroom. It really wasn't a choice to not, I'm not going to say it wasn't a choice, but we moved to Florida this summer. So we were moving to Florida in June. I had a daughter who was getting married in September, and then my other daughter was having a baby, at her third child in October. So I just really didn't have time to look for a job, was basically it. So I decided I would, you know, not teach this year, and that I would just travel and present at conferences. Well, then somehow now I've ended up that I'm doing it again next year for SCE. So the year after that, though, they're building a brand new school that'll be ready that following year, just 3 miles from my house. So yes, awesome. I cannot wait to get back in the classroom.
Great.
Well, Deanna, if someone were to describe you in 3 words, what are 3 words that you hope they would use?
Oh gosh. fun, giving, and Christian. That's really important to me, that people know my heart, so that
Great.
Would be it.
What, you sound like you're quite busy, but do you have any time to, like, read any books, maybe education-related or even not education-related, anything you'd recommend to the audience? Actually, let's stick with education. You read anything education?
Yeah. yes, I read constantly. I tell you, I'm gonna name my 2 favorite all-time books that I've read so many times that the cover is falling off. I was looking
to see them. Let's do it.
So that I could hold it up and show you. The covers are falling off. They're tabbed. Teaching with Intention by Debbie Miller is a great book. For any grade level, and then also Reading with Meaning. And she just recently put out her 2nd edition of that book. So both books by Debbie Miller, she is my favorite. So sound, research-based practices, and reading her books are like talking to a friend. So you don't have to, you know, put a lot of brain power into what she's saying. So
awesome.
I love her stuff.
Good.
Well, looking back 5 or 10 years, what is a piece of advice that you'd give yourself?
Take more time for my family. You know, in this journey, especially this last 5 years, this journey with TPT has been great. But, you know, I look at my kids. My son, my baby graduated high school last year, and I never missed a basketball game or, you know, anything that he was doing. But so many times, you know, I would hear my family in the living room just laughing and talking, and, you know, I'm on my computer working. So I would probably take more time for my family. That would be it.
You know, and that's the 2nd week in a row that we've heard that, right, Todd? Or maybe in 3rd week. AJ Giuliani said that last time he was on, too. He said that, you know, us workaholics, and I think all 3 of us would probably fit in that category.
Right.
could take our own advice and definitely slow it down sometimes. It's not all about, you know, work, even though it's a lot of fun,
yeah.
And that's what we're passionate about.
Yeah, I enjoy it, but my husband asked me last week if I die first, does he want me to? Do I want him to tack? I wish I'd worked more on my tombstone. No. So I do. That's my goal. I'm gonna try to start, especially since I'm working from home this year. I'm gonna try to start office hours because he comes home from work and you know, they're all in there. We all eat dinner together, but as soon as dinner's, you know, over, I'm in here on the computer. I'm gonna start 4 o'clock. I'm done. I'm off the computer. So
it's a great goal. Well, one of the questions that we always like to end on is, what's something you're kind of really passionate about right now in education?
Well, one thing I'm really passionate about is, you know, all this testing, which, you know, that's been going on for years. But, you know, okay, if you're in a place where you do have to test your kids, that's fine. But don't make it all about the test. Don't, you know, test practice. We're stressing our kids out. We're stressing ourselves out. Teaching and learning should be joyful. I don't, you know, whatever grade you teach, you can still make it very rigorous, but make it joyful, meaningful, and engaging for the kids. It should be fun. If they don't want to come to school and you don't want to go to work, then there's something wrong. You need to change it. Shut your door and do what you need to do.
I hear you. On the eve of our STAR test that we have tomorrow, my test is actually tomorrow, so that's a very poignant advice.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
it. Your kids will do great.
You know what? It's not me that needs the luck. It's the 120 13-year-olds that I teach. So. they know it. They'll be fine. They'll be good. So we really want to thank you for joining us, Deanna. It was great to get to talk to you some more, and really fun to connect. I really appreciate you guys coming on.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, so a couple of ways that you guys can, the audience can connect with us. So on Twitter, you can find us at EduAllStarsHQ. You will use the hashtag EduAllStars. The website is eduallstars.com/podcast. You can find all the former episodes we've done. And then on iTunes, you can search out EduAllStars with no spaces in the podcast and locate them all there.
Deanna, did that just sound really weird to you too?
Yeah, I just kind of slowed down.
Yeah, that was very scary, Chris. Chris said eduallstars.com/podcast is the website. That was scary. We have another interview coming up this week. We've got a doubleheader this week. On Wednesday, April 23rd at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to have Assistant Principal John Fritzky on with us. And then next Monday, on April 28th at 8 p.m., we are going to be interviewing People's Teacher of the Year Top 6 finalist Jeremy Heath. And so we're excited to have them. In closing, we wanted to thank you again, Deanna. And we also wanted to thank our sponsor for this episode, Go Noodle. And they make a fun product. And we hope that you guys, are you listeners, go to eduallstars.com and see how you can sign up for a Go Noodle account today. Thank you so much, Deanna, for giving us some of your time. It was great talking to you and hearing a totally different perspective than we've ever had on this show before. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And we will see everybody on Wednesday.